Are you staying poor by playing it safe with your podcast? That's exactly what we're exploring in this episode. Welcome to Why Your Podcast Isn't Growing, a show helping entrepreneurs with podcasts turn a slow growth show into a rapidly growing positive ROI podcast. Hello, my name is Anthony Wanneri.
I'm Ty Gauchet.
And in this episode, you'll discover the hidden vulnerability keeping podcasters stuck in interview mode and how they overcome it.
The surprising type of consistency that builds faster trust and better monetization.
And how this one change can build a solid foundation for your authority, growth, and the income of your podcast. Hello and welcome back to another Monday episode where we dive deep and explore the hidden reasons why your podcast isn't growing or monetizing as fast as you'd like and address the uncomfortable truth around what's holding you back from taking your show to that next level. So look, solo podcast episodes are the fastest and easiest way to grow and monetize a business-driven podcast. A lot of podcasters that we speak to on a day-to-day basis, week-to-week basis, and clients coming into the Get More Listens Academy have a lot of resistance to this change. Now, I could break down the most logical sales argument as to why solo podcast episodes really work. For example, if you were at a conference, you saw a guy on stage, he provided a ton of value, and you wanted to work with him. But then out of nowhere, a random host comes on and pitches you their offer. It'll feel weird and disconnected because the guest speaker was the person who gave the most amount of value. That's exactly what happens in a podcast guest episode.
That is a logical sales argument, isn't it?
Or I could talk about how it's very hard to consistently provide high value content for your audience, which makes it difficult to grow or monetize when it's you inviting different guests onto your show, which provides a different experience, different tone. Maybe they like one guest, don't like the other. And again, you can see how this affects the listener experience and their ability to want to keep consuming your podcast.
Yep, that makes sense.
Now you might hear this and it might make complete sense to you. And maybe, just maybe, you're even nodding along whilst we're giving these examples. You might be saying, yes, yes, yes. Oh my God, that's so true. I've been there. I've also had those thoughts of, I want to provide value. I always invite my guests on, yada, yada, yada. But maybe you still have concerns about, you know, again, just that crippling anxiety of, fuck, look, I feel like I have to be the person who sits down on my own, produce this podcast episode, when I feel like maybe, you know, I work much better and produce better podcast content when I bounce off someone else. I don't really know if I can produce better content when it's just me. It feels kind of weird and new. And even worse, what if the episode that I do on my own doesn't perform as well? Like, what does that say about me?
This very natural moment of hesitation that we've witnessed many times is not just a logistical thing. It's a window into something much deeper. Because what you're feeling isn't merely doubt about an episode. It's a flash of a much bigger vulnerability. Philosopher Martin Heidegger called this Gefangenheit, or thrownness. The unsettling truth that we're thrown into life without clear instructions, left to act without certainty. And in many ways, the solo podcast is the purest expression of that because it's just you, your voice, your mind, no guest, no one to bounce off, no buffer. Just total exposure is that vulnerability, right? You are just thrown in there and left to act without uncertainty, again, as the definition goes.
And that's really where kind of a lot of people kind of have this fear that creeps in, which is, well, what if the episode flops?
What if I'm not enough?
And without someone else to share the spotlight, to spark ideas and to carry the weight of the actual episode, you're kind of just faced with a brutal question that you rarely say out loud, which is, what if my voice alone doesn't carry that much value? Now, that's the core terror of creation on your own, right? Because at the end of the day, if the podcast doesn't perform well, it kind of confirms some anxiety, some worries, some fears, some insecurities that you're really maybe not the expert, or maybe you're not worthy for an audience. You know, maybe you're just a sidekick, the helper, the person who facilitates and puts the spotlight on someone else's greatness. You know, when you say, and I always think about this, right? When someone actually says, I work better when I bounce ideas off someone. Don't get me wrong, I totally understand that. But what you might be really saying is also, within that same breath, that you don't trust yourself on your own to actually think, you don't trust yourself on your own to come up with insights that's super valuable without having someone else validate them.
And that belief, it quietly robs you of your authority. which is for many people listening, you did your podcast, you set out your podcast to do, right, is to build that. But if you're just interviewing people, then actually, you know, it kind of feels like pulling the stabilizers away, the thought of going solo, that trains you to depend on a co-signer before stepping into your power. It feels like we're reaching here, but actually when you really explore the thought, and again, we've spoken to a lot of clients about this, it does go quite deep.
Now, the specific anxieties that might be manifesting in your mind right now might just be kind of a symptom of a deeper condition. So this feeling you're having of, hey, I work better when I have someone to bounce off of, or hey, I haven't produced a solo podcast episode. All of this, again, might just be symptoms of a deeper condition, which is, what if I run out of things to say? Which translates to, you know, do I actually have the depth of expertise or just the breadth of connection? If I sound awkward and stumble and mix up my words, which again, in translation, is almost a subtle way of saying, hey, without someone else's rhythm to match, will my natural cadence be enough?
What if no one engages with me? Which, again, when we look into it, it was really, is my perspective alone valuable enough to warrant attention? What if I put myself fully out there and it fails? Is the authentic me worthy of being heard? This isn't a self-development podcast, right? It definitely feels like we're looking at things on a different light to usual this episode. But again, this episode inspired because regularly we have clients join our program, Get More Listeners Academy, where we help podcasters just like you grow and monetize in a record amount of time. And routinely, people go through this thing of starting solo episodes if they haven't already done them. Sometimes people are already doing them and sometimes they're not. And for the people that switch over to them, it can be quite a mental thing. And we really get quite the insight into all the ways people think about this. And when you peel back the layers and on coaching calls and things like that, all the surprising things that are actually putting up resistance to this thing that, again, it's quite clear why solo is the best, we talked about at the start.
But then, of course, you have the resistance that kind of pops up. And I think the last point that you mentioned there, mate, was just kind of like, hey, look, you know, what if I put myself out there and then it fails? Maybe that's something you're thinking to yourself. That cuts kind of deep, you know, because let's say, for example, we had an interview, right? You have someone to kind of blame if the episode doesn't perform well. Maybe the guest selection wasn't quite right. Maybe the guest was boring. Maybe our chemistry wasn't good enough. It's kind of shared between you and the guest. But let's say you record a solo podcast episode and you put it out for the world to kind of freely judge and listen to. Well, if that fails, it feels like it's directly on you. Your ideas, your ability to communicate, your skills, your worthiness as a thought leader. Like, it's not a nice thought at all to think that you can put an episode out there and then you look at the numbers, it doesn't perform. You look at your retention time and see if people engage with the episode. And let's say for whatever reason, it was below average at, let's say, 60 to 70%. It doesn't feel good getting that data back, right?
Yeah.
So really what we're trying to say is, like, you know, having solo episodes versus interview-based shows, it's the difference between being rejected at a masquerade ball versus being rejected when you're showing your true face.
Now, that's a great analogy. And what makes this particularly paralyzing is how it connects to your identity as an expert or coach, right? Again, the masquerade is not really connected, but when it's your true face, of course it is. Your podcast is a public demonstration of your expertise, right, ultimately. Each episode is a performance piece answering the question, should people trust this person with their problems, their businesses, their aspirations, their secrets? A guest provides a buffer between you and this question because they lend you their credibility and they share the burden of expertise and ultimately dilute the responsibility for the episode's impact. Going solo removes all of these safety nets. But here's what your fear doesn't want you to recognize. These safety nets have been holding you back all along. They've been preventing you from developing the very qualities that would make you unquestionably worthy of trust and attention.
Now, most people, when they start to explore this idea of more solo podcast episodes, they kind of view it as this mountain. But when we peel back all the layers, all the resistance, all the mental gymnastics we go through to either procrastinate starting that we know we should do or putting off the solo podcast episode for X, Y, and Z reason, we hit a very real fear, which is, will my podcast suffer because I don't have what it takes to clearly communicate my ideas when it's just me and the mic? Look, this worry and this kind of weird whisper in the background, it stands before most people, towering like this massive mountain you can't overcome.
Oh, wow.
one that seems reversed only to those who are naturally gifted. You know, the solo podcast hosts who just speak effortlessly for 30 minutes, an hour long. And to be honest with you, Tig, this guy that I recently started watching, the YouTube channel is called actualize.org. He does 2 hour, 3 hour long episodes himself into the camera and it's flawless, right?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So you see all these people doing all these crazy things, holding attention in such a magnetic, clear and free flowing way. And you hear their polished delivery and think to yourself that maybe they're just built different. I've been there, by the way. Like, I don't know about you, mate, but I've seen people perform like, whoa, this is just like, how the hell did you get to that level?
Yeah, for sure. But it's not people being born different, right? It's an illusion, actually. Because what seems like a question of the, you know, natural born talent, it's something a lot more empowering, thankfully, is a learnable, trainable skill. Those seamless monologues are not proof of innate talent. I mean, obviously talent can be innate to an extent, but the people really at the top, like that person you mentioned, it's the result of the unseen reps, the, you know, all the practice, the messy first draft, and I'm sure years and years of refinement. Good example of this is Alex Hormozy, who I mentioned before. You know, his solo episodes now generate millions of views, and he openly admitted that his first recordings were awkward, clunky. Andrew Huberman, whose calm, precise delivery is like his thing, basically, he didn't arrive fully formed. He shaped it through years of repetition, correction, and refinement. And these weren't accidents of talent. They were outcomes of discipline.
Every single podcast that you've ever looked up to, every voice that seemed effortless, the ones that captivate you, that clarify and feel like they just can command an entire nation, they started all in the same place where they were uncertain, hesitant, and honestly cringing at the sound of their own voice. You know, it wasn't just like this magic thing that happened. And the truth is, articulation isn't, again, a personality trait. It's not this like rare gift that people are bestowed upon. It's a muscle. And like any muscle and any skill, you can grow and you can develop it over time.
Damn straight.
It just takes you time to record more, to reflect, to revise, to repeat, and just clarifying your thinking. And the better you become, the sharper your words land on your solo episodes. And hey, look, this is a process that we're constantly going through even with ourselves, right?
100%.
So it's not just like, it's just a forever, an infinite game you're constantly going to be playing.
You know, go back and listen to our first episode, actually. Oh, actually, don't, because that was just Anthony. Listen to, I think it was like the fourth one, maybe it was together or pretty early on, and we wouldn't sound anything like we do now, I'm sure.
So no, you're not behind when you look at all these people doing amazing things. You're just at a starting line. And the only way for you to get better, again, with solid podcast episodes is by recording and actually starting. Now, with all that being said, you might still have concerns that, hey, I don't feel like I'm going to perform very well, or I don't want to feel like I'm behind. It's important to know that a lot of the clients that do eventually switch over to solo podcast episodes, their episodes perform way better. But why? Why does it perform better? Well, it performs better because they have a lot more consistency in terms of their voice, which is the thing that's going to build their actual trust with their audience.
Exactly. And that is, going back to the start of this episode, this is the surprising consistency. Most people think just putting out episodes is the consistency that gets them where they want to be. Not alone will it do that for several reasons, but consistency of the same voice builds connection faster than, you know, flashes of brilliance in interviews ever could. And that is something that is comforting to know, I think, that just the switch from vehicle A to vehicle B, you can kind of, you know, drive vehicle B much worse than you drove vehicle A interviews. And vehicle B solo episodes will still make you much more progress just because it's a much better vehicle. Think about the podcasts you keep coming back to. You're coming back to them because you know what to expect, because of what you expect. And it's that familiar tone. It's a perspective that you've now got behind and you can be reassured that you're going to get, and a clear communication style. And it becomes something you can trust, kind of a safe space, right? It's one of the reasons podcasting is growing like it is. An interview-based podcast by design disrupt that consistency. 1 week the guest is electric, the next dry or just bad audio quality or, you know, really self-promotion kind of centered.
Now, maybe you're thinking, but look, I love interview podcasts. Like, I listen to X, Y, and Z show every single week. Now, of course you do. And honestly, so do we. We have podcasts that interview-based shows that I also really enjoy. But here's the catch. A lot of these shows are often backed by massive platforms or feature household names. They pull in high profile guests with massive reach.
The draw is the guest.
And that's literally it. That is quite literally it. The draw is the guest, right? An example of this, actually, funnily enough, And then, of course, their monetization model, a lot of the times, is built on sponsorships, not sales, not turning your listeners and audience into customers for your business. And in order for sponsorships and ads and, you know, all of that thing to work, for them to drive a lot of money, it requires massive impressions being reached with their shows. Whereas for you, if your goal is conversion, then again, a solid podcast episode is the best vehicle for that. But look, if your dream is to build a media empire, then yes, stacking up a bunch of interviews, chasing high-profile guests, and optimizing your show for just maximal reach, that's a very long-term game. There's nothing wrong with playing that game. And it's all about brand exposure, you know, deal flow, maybe even selling space for ads and sponsors. But just know, again, it's a high-volume game. It's more content, more editing, more chasing, more time, more team, more grind, and a boatload of money you have to invest into a high-quality team. But if you're not trying to be Spotify's next acquired show and you actually want to build a business-driven podcast that lands more clients and can help you generate, you know, six figures per year plus without turning the podcast into a second full-time job, then you can just go the solo route with fewer episodes, way more focused effort, and a tighter connection with your audience. And that's what Solid Podcasts allows you to do.
Now, let's bring it back to the voice, which, again, is something we don't normally focus on too much. Once you accept that articulation is a skill rather than a talent, everything changes. Instead of being paralyzed by self-judgment, you can approach each episode as deliberate practice, which is by far the best mindset. You know, an opportunity to strengthen the muscle of your self-expression. And of course, your self-expression is crucial to you building your brand, making more sales, getting more listeners who really resonate, and potentially turning them into clients. The trajectory is predictable and repeatable. Your first attempts will feel awkward and self-conscious. With repetition, you'll find a natural rhythm, your natural cadence. Over time, you'll develop signature phrases and ways of speaking and just things that feel like you. And eventually, it'll be a whole communication style that's distinctly yours. Me and Anthony are building ours right now, right? We're all on this journey. And even the people we mentioned before, right at the top, they're still ultimately building it because every time they talk into a mic, they're building it. And those guys right at the top, those girls right at the top, us right here, you, where you are right now, whether you've started, whether you're thinking about starting, it's the documented journey of every podcaster who's made the transition from interviewer to authority. The only variable is time, and that's determined by how quickly you start and how much reps you get in.
So look, you might find yourself at a crossroads, right? One version of you clings onto the comfort of having interviews, making things slow and making incremental progress, relying on guests to do a lot of the heavy lifting for you. Now, this version never quite develops that muscle to communicate with power, never fully steps into their own authority. They kind of just stay safe, they stay small, and they never build that deeper relationship with their audience. They're just always the facilitator of someone else's voice. Whereas the other version of you decides, you know what, this is worth my time to invest in. And this, although it might feel like a harder part initially, that feels uncomfortable, but ends in you feeling so much more empowered, feeling so happy that you put in the reps. This version of yourself just embraces the fact that when I get started, it's going to be awkward, it's not going to be best, but knowing that growth is not going to come from ease, but from the effort you put in. So you keep showing up over and over again, you refine your voice, your messaging becomes so much more crisp, and you become the kind of communicator who doesn't just inform, but one who actually inspires your audience to take action. This version of yourself earns the credibility over others who try and borrow it.
Damn, you're on a roll here. And let's be honest, this isn't really a decision about podcast formats. It's about identity. Okay, we just keep making this deep. It's about whether you're willing to be vulnerable in the short term to build something unforgettable in the long term, really unforgettable, and something highly profitable as well. It's about whether you'll let fear of sounding imperfect stop you from ever sounding great. The highest version of you already knows which path leads to the impact you crave. The only question left is, will you trust that version and finally let the world hear what it's been waiting for all along?
And look, if you haven't already, be sure to go down to the show notes and grab your free copy of our best-selling book, Podcast Marketing, or typing www.getmorelisteners.com/book. And of course, what you'll also get is a totally personalized mini show audit that's completely personalized to you and your podcast. Yes,
Like I've said 1,000 times, this is absolutely 100% a bribe and a way to get you into our world and what we're doing.